Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to the show. Welcome to yet another Sunday night covering the AfterBuzz TV Walking Dead After Show. This is Season 7, Episode 4, titled Service. We got our first look at what it looked like back at Alexandria. I'm looking at Lucille. I'm looking at Lucille. After this crazy events of Episode 1, we can't wait to break the whole thing down for you guys. We have some big thoughts. Hang out with us. We'll see you in just 1 second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, gang?
You hold that so awkwardly.
It's a weird thing. I want it to be in frame, but I
don't feel in danger with you holding that at all.
If I actually swung it at anyone holding at the bottom, I'd probably break my wrist.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'll put it back on the table here. True story, on Action Movie Anatomy, we covered Braveheart this week, and my roommate has an actual real-life sharpened replica of the Braveheart William Wallace sword.
That's intense.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. It cost him like $700, custom ordered from Italy, so we brought it in for the episode, and it was sitting on the table the whole time, and every time something big would happen, I'd pick it up, and the people on the other side of the table would like flip out, and like, as they probably should have.
That's why that's plastic.
Right, yeah.
It's good. Anyway, guys, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Walking Dead AfterBuzz TV After Show. This is Season 7, Episode 4, titled Service. We're going to break down the whole thing for you right now. I'm your host, Ben Bateman. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. Mr. John Carl is to my left.
Yes, I am. John Carl, the John Carl on Twitter and Instagram. And why are you applauding for me? That's awkward. And also Whiskey and Waffles on YouTube.
Cool. And we have the brand new, newest member of our panel.
No, she's been here like 3 episodes now. That's not brand new anymore.
But I'm just going to keep introducing her. We're excited she's here.
I love the excitement. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Welcome.
I'm Susanna Kim. You guys can find me everywhere at Susanna_Kim. It's SusannaH_Kim.
And you guys may notice that Daryl Christian is not here. He's off doing cool things. Tweet at him. Let him know how much you miss him. He will be back next week. If you guys want to follow along,
we're supposed to tell him we miss him? I've been sending him like really evil things all day.
Hateful texts?
Yeah, maybe.
No. What?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
We'll be nice.
I messed up.
Guys, if you want to follow along with the conversation, you can follow along in the live chat. We have it up here on the screen that we can be watching. Unfortunately, we are not going to be interacting on it right now. If you want to help us out, you can leave us a rating or review on iTunes. It helps us stay high in the standings and provide free content, which we would like to continue to do. So that would be awesome if you do that. And of course, leave your comments on YouTube. We read them all. We collectively will respond to different ones.
The majority will get a response from one of us. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really fun to hear what you guys think at this point as we veer into like comic book meets TV show kind of zone. And things are changing. It's kind of unpredictable what's actually going to happen. So that's awesome. On that note, I should remind everybody that we at the end of the episode will be doing a comic booky spoiler section for just a few minutes. Some of us have read the comic books on the panel. We try to stay away from discussing that stuff obviously during the show. So we will be as vague as possible, even if we know what's happening. So you don't need to comment that this thing that we should know, but we probably know it. We're just going to pretend like we don't, so that we don't reveal anything until the very end of the episode. At which point we'll give you guys a spoiler and we'll talk it through.
Yep.
Aside from that, let's get into the episode, guys. What'd you think? Initial reactions.
You go first. You're happier than I am.
I liked the episode. I thought, this is a lot of why I initially started watching The Walking Dead. I'm not a huge horror fan, so it's not all about like the zombies for me. I like seeing the relationships and stuff. The only thing for me was I was kind of expecting something crazy to happen for it being an hour and a half, so my expectations were really high. I don't know if that's just me, but that's my only let down. But otherwise, I loved it. I liked seeing Negan, seeing Alexandria for the first time.
Definitely. Yeah.
Overall, I thought it was a fine episode. I think it would have been better as a 44-minute episode as opposed to a 66-minute episode.
Yeah, this is twice now in 2 seasons. Last season, it was episode 5 that they decided to do this. I believe the episode was titled Here, which was the Eastman episode, immediately following the fake Glenn death.
Right.
And that is an episode that we came on. We had, I think, kind of some negative vibes talking about that one. I know a lot of us liked the episode now in retrospect, but where it appeared in the season, how long it was definitely a problem. And this one, to me, wasn't as much of a problem.
I agree.
But it still didn't need to be 90 minutes.
Yeah, when we were done watching it and then getting in here, I had checked out to see what a few people were saying, and most major comic book and geek outlets were all kind of saying the same thing of the actions you were seeing from Negan were fine for the character, but they started getting repetitive within the same episode.
Right.
And that, I think, was what wore on us a little bit, because it wasn't intimidating as much anymore, as much it was okay, we get it. Yeah. You can hurt people. You have control over Rick. We get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. They're setting up the Rock and a Hard Place mentality with the Alexandrians and Rick specifically, and it's effective. I mean, I think Jeffrey Dean Morgan's doing a really wonderful job with the character. I think he is great. The hard thing is that the lack of profanity that's allowed in the show. I mean, in the most basic sense, without revealing anything that really happens in the comic book, that's obviously a difference, is you can write the F word in a comic as many times as you want, and in his scenes, a script with Negan in it would have like 70 F words in the episode, and we get none in the show, which makes what he says kind of, sometimes it just doesn't resonate in the same way.
Yeah, and this doesn't go into comic spoiler territory, but something that you and I have talked about is the nursery rhymey stuff.
Yeah.
Wasn't anywhere near as prevalent to the character as much as he's just a kind of a straight up badass in the comic, and it's evil and scary versus he's filling in the F words with nursery rhymes, I feel like, and it doesn't have the same strength to me as, you know, profanity spewing, like, you know,
right,
tough guy from the Jersey Shore, essentially.
Yeah, he's still really evil. It's not that he's not evil, and it's not that the stuff in the first episode wasn't startling. It's more just, I think that they have established him really well.
Mm-hmm.
It, thus far, like, the screen time he's getting since his introduction has been a little bit underwhelming as far as moving his character forward, moving the story forward. Though I actually did think that last episode was used really nicely. The stuff with Dwight.
I loved that.
Yeah, that was all great. This one was a little bit long-winded. So let's start at the beginning of the episode with Michonne. She wakes up, she goes, and she gets this sniper rifle out from the fireplace.
Which was... I don't know how you hide a sniper rifle that well in a fireplace. Yeah. I feel like that would be pretty easy to spot.
Yeah, she pulled it out real casually,
too. Like that wasn't no even noises. like well hidden within there, I guess.
It might have been. I think it's a fake fireplace, right?
It looked like there was some sort of reveal, like, or something moved or something like that. But
it looks like a gas fireplace, so it probably has a space behind it in the back, and she's probably hiding it in there.
Right.
But yeah, she gets that sucker out, and we all had the same reaction, which was that we didn't know Michonne was a sniper, and as it turns out, she's not.
She's definitely right. Not.
Mm. She's as bad a shot as Harry is in Dumb and Dumber. She's not a good shot, and so she's out there, and she's
deadly, though.
She is, yeah.
She is deadly.
Sweet, sweet Walker skull slice, right?
Oh, yeah. I loved it.
Yeah. Oh, I was referring to the fact that she was able to kill a deer. Deer are not easy to shoot, and she was able to take one out inadvertently.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I thought we talked about this, there was two Walker deaths this episode that were both pretty gruesome.
Yeah, the slice in half from her, and then later Negan, straight up over the head with the candlestick, and just pretty brutal Walker kills out of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely graphic and very, like, very cool design on those.
Rosita had some kills, too.
Oh, yeah.
Her little cred,
But hers weren't visually, wow. Hers were... just
she was like doing some Rainbow Six stuff. She was like jumping around trees, formation behind, like she took out like seven walkers all, like, really. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So Michonne, that's kind of where we open up with her. Eventually, when she does come back at the end of the guns debacle, she is forced to give she's not forced, but Rick encourages her to give the rifle back, even though they don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
So they donate the deer and the rifle, and then in the final scene she kind of agrees to maybe come around with Rick. It's not actually the final scene, but she just says she'll try before seeing the mattresses that have been burned.
Right.
That's the arc of her character through the episode. So how do we feel about Michonne right now? What do we think going on in her head?
I mean, I was happy to see her back. I missed her. I was kind of saying before that I missed having a good storyline for her. I was really sad to see that Rick, you know, was asking her to give the rifle back. I felt really defeated for everyone, you know? It seemed like she was still holding on hope from the get-go, from the beginning of the episode, and Rick just took it all away.
It's
a little depressing for me.
I actually really liked, if you compare the first episode where we saw Michonne and Rick waking up next to each other, and then this one, and it's the complete opposite. There's nothing touching or emotional about it. It's very cold. They're not even their hand on each other's shoulder. There's not the apple next to the bed in the morning and any of those moments that they really shared together. And I think it's great example of, it's not just Rick who's being broken at this point, but anything relating to him is being broken, including his, you know, aside from his son, the only real son and daughter, the only real relationship that he has right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And she's having a hard time, obviously, buying in. She's trying, but you can see, because of how strong of a character and how strong of a woman Michonne is, that it seems like her attraction to him is almost, it's held at bay right now, because he's kind of... He's not acting weak. He's just acting submissive to somebody else.
I mean, he has been emasculated.
Completely right. Emasculated. Yeah, and you can tell that she's picking up on that, and she doesn't want to submit. So we give the rifle back to Negan, and he goes on this whole rant about how she's a good woman and she'll cook you dinner without you having to put out, and just testing Rick. And then Michonne goes back out there, and the final scene with her we get is that we see that the mattresses that they took have all been stacked and burned. I actually didn't know what they were when I first saw them. They kind of looked like a bunch of graves or something. not graves, but coffins.
Yeah.
That was the first thought I had. But they burned all the... Like, do you think that they burned them close enough that they would hope they would see them?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's within, like, realistic walking range of where they are. Like, you know, they know that these people are going to have to go out and scavenge to
right.
get, you know, their tribute to Negan and all his people. So, yeah, they were definitely doing it on purpose. And it's like, you get a little bit of hope when it's like, oh, they took the mattresses. That sucks. But then as soon as, like, you know, a day or two passes, or maybe Michonne doesn't say anything and somebody else sees him, it's like, it's that reminder of just you are at bay to somebody else at any given time.
Right.
But I'm curious as why, if that was the message, why wouldn't they just do it in front of them to make even, you know, a more effective message? Hey, we took all, we're just going to burn him in front of you, you know?
I think it's the psychological tactic of you think you're okay with us right now,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going to let you have, like, this lull of calm,
and then
you stumble upon it, and mm-hmm. it's like, just take that knife that you forgot was there and
like
start twisting it.
Sort of effect.
Yeah,
which is weird, though, because it's like on the... You have to question... Some of Negan's motives, you think, are pretty pragmatic. Like, he's like, if I keep all these people under my thumb, mm-hmm. I keep them scared of me, they'll provide for us. Mm-hmm. So he will take care of his people, because Negan, to some degree, does care about having this large community because it keeps him in power.
Yep.
But also, where this differs from, like, the basic mafia mentality of, like, we protect you, you pay tribute, is that he took all their weapons, which is weird because it's like he knows that how many dangerous characters there are out there. I found that strange, and the burning the mattresses, it's like, you're trying to incite these people's anger to come at you with it, as opposed to, like...
I think he's trying to figure out who are the other Ricks and the other Daryls of the community
right.
that need to be broken.
Right.
Because he can't believe that Rick amassed this army of people that follow him, and the only two strong ones were Rick and Daryl. He knows
right.
there have to be other strong people. Well, he didn't know how strong Abraham was.
Right.
He was
right.
just... inadvertently the first one who got
physically.
Picked.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I mean, I guess he is still feeling it out. I guess he doesn't know, and he doesn't really care the collateral damage. He's feeling out for the Spencers. He's feeling out for the guys that have the attitude that are...
Right, who's reckless and is gonna, you know, do what Carl did and just pull a gun at random.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Carl's definitely one of those that I think... But he seems to have a strange respect for Carl.
He sees a lot of himself in Carl, whether or not that's accurate.
Yeah.
It's like the whole, like, little serial killer
yeah.
look.
Right.
I think a small part of him might be scared of Carl. right?
Yeah, or at least entertained by him, because mm-hmm. he's, like, the one-eyed kid. He's like, man, this kid's really been through some shit, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so actually, speaking of Spencer, let's continue down that road.
Yep.
So we have an arc with Spencer in this episode. Now, Spencer hadn't really been in this show much since last season.
Right.
In fact, this is his first scene since last season.
Yep.
And even last season, his arc sort of shrunk towards the end.
Yeah. As soon as his mother died, it kind of it tapered off.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was that moment we all were talking about when he was up on the guard post towards the end of last season, where we actually thought, with the blood dripping down,
that he whacked himself. Yeah.
That he had killed himself, or he had been killed.
Yeah.
We thought he was one of the deaths, and he ends up surviving. But a lot of his, like, really selfish. I mean, he's weak and childish, and he's mm-hmm. been weak and childish the whole time.
Yep.
He's a spoiled little kid. I think I affectionately referred to him last season as a shit weasel, and I will
yep.
continue to do so. Which, incidentally, Xander Berkeley, who actually plays Gregory at the, is the all time movie shit weasel from Air Force One. He's the guy that betrays
yep.
the president.
Yep.
Yeah, he's in all kinds of movies as, like, that character. But anyway, that aside, Spencer is now back, and he pulled this whole move with Rosita. They're out in the woods, and he was kind of, like, giving her grief for trying to keep this gun. And
well, at first he's like, this is what it is now because your people messed this all up for us. So I think when it gets to later, when she has the gun and everything like that, he's like, why didn't you do something earlier? Because if you had done something earlier, maybe stuff would be different. Instead, you just followed Rick blindly instead of being your own person.
Yeah, he really resents Rick for being the leader.
Yeah, absolutely. He still thinks he should be the leader.
Right.
And that's why he's stealing food and stealing booze and stuff like that. because it's like it's his only way of like sticking it to the man, essentially, in his mind.
Yeah. Could you, as a whiskey guy, were you able to see what the label on that on the whiskey was?
I didn't pay attention
to it.
It
looked like a scotch. I almost want to say that it was an Oban 14. That's what it kind of looked like, but maybe, I don't think...
I'm a Jack Daniels guy, man. Okay. I'm way simpler.
But yeah, so he's having this whole conversation with Rosita where she takes out these walkers, and he's kind of like, this is life now. We should have made a deal. And she's pretty clearly not on board with that attitude. She's still pretty clearly, you know, is behind Rick. Mm-hmm. Even though she's had her own resentment at times.
I don't know if she's behind Rick as much as she's anti-Negan at this point. Because she may have lost faith in Rick. And, you know, to see where her arc went with the rest of the episode, she goes to Eugene directly. She doesn't go to Rick to even say anything about it.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, she's making her own little plan without Rick. And I think she's kind of feeling Rick's hopelessness a little and taking charge, which is interesting. I never would have guessed Rosita out of all the people to be the one to step up.
Well, even though things had like started to change, she still probably feels the death of Abraham
more than anybody else.
Yeah, just the same way that Maggie feels the Glenn death. I mean, so she's pretty personally affected and hates Negan. Mm-hmm. So I get that. I get where she's coming from there. But the way she was talking to Spencer, this is where Rick got us, right? Like, or I'm sorry, the way Spencer was talking to her, this is where Rick got us. Like, he's really trying to plant those seeds, and you know that there's going to be more of that back at Alexandria. That's how he's talking openly.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, he's definitely going to be the internal person who's going to be pushing against Rick the most, by far.
Feels like he's going to die, right? I mean, that feels like
everybody on the show is going to die.
At his hands, though, I'm curious to see.
Yeah, true.
Because that standoff between him and Rick was tense for a second. I mean, nothing happened of it, but I wasn't sure where that was going to go.
I don't think they'll take us down that road anytime soon.
Not yet.
Rick killing Spencer. That seems like a very, that would be a dark departure for Rick's character, where the story is now. But it does seem like he will do something to get himself killed, whether that's like trying to take over and do.
Makes a terrible decision somehow.
He's done it in the past. The whole like trying to shimmy out of the right. Didn't he try to like run away and shimmy out on that power line last season or whatever?
No, he was trying to get over to the church thing that was falling over. Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's because he wanted to draw the walkers away.
Yeah, he was trying to play hero.
Right. And he put everybody at risk. Right, so
that
anyway,
was pretty solid.
Yeah,
yeah.
Thank you. So Spencer, that's where we kind of stand with him. Though he does have the tense interaction with Rick at the end of the episode, and so Rick's like, "They were going to kill Olivia. I went into your house. I found your things," and then he's like,
"You went into my house?
Went into my house? I wanted to strangle him."
Right. Oh! That's what you're worried about, sir.
Yeah. Right. The nerve to even say it out loud.
I mean, not for nothing. Even if all the stuff wasn't going on with Negan, the fact that he was hoarding weapons, that everybody in there is like living under the rules of everything has to be under inventory, we need to know where everything is all at the same time. Olivia not knowing where that stuff is, okay, I'm not agreeing with Negan, but she should have known that stuff was missing previous to that, especially if all she does is do food and gun inventory. She should know two things are missing.
I feel like they have pretty decent stuff there for him to be hoarding beans, though. I mean, that was one thing I noticed where I was like, man, if I was going to... Like, I get stealing scotch. It's like, if you're going to... You know what I mean? It's like, if you're somebody who really likes scotch...
I mean, I do that. We're not in the apocalypse.
And guns. But it's like, if you're going to hoard beans, wouldn't... You know, some candy, maybe, or, like, something that's, like, special. I mean, I like beans, but I just...
that's what you're worried about?
Yeah. Exactly, right? But, yeah, he says that to Rick. I thought Rick was going to deck him. I thought right then and there, you know? Mm. If I was Rick, I might have.
It that scene was great because it showed the strength that Rick still does have, despite the fact that, you know, he's been broken by Negan. He's still able to maintain a level of leadership within the community to say, you know, you can't do this. And if he was truly broken, he probably would have been like, I don't care.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah. So Spencer gives him these lines, and but then Rick is like, you ever say that anything like that to me again, I'm going to break your jaw and knock your teeth out.
Yep.
And he say yes, and Spencer's like, yes. He says it right away.
Right?
But that was Rick using a Negan technique, too, because everything that Negan does, he waits for the response and then tells somebody what to say.
Yeah, right.
Hmm.
So it's really weird that he adopted something from the person who's
totally
destroying him.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Picking up tips.
Yeah, I mean, he probably
seems to work.
He probably is learning some part of leading from Negan, even if it is a horrible part. He's probably still learning something because he's just being dominated by him right now.
Nope.
When he starts speaking in poems, we'll all be a little concerned, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he starts saying, twinkle, twinkle, little star. It's like, and we're done with this.
You guys ever notice, though, how in movies and TV, when you stop and you don't turn around and say something to someone, like, especially when you talk really quietly and intensely, it's like, I feel like the person would be like, what?
What? Yeah.
They're standing like 15 to 20 feet away from you. You're
saying
you're
quiet.
I totally thought that.
Yeah, Spencer, like, and how awkward it would have been if Spencer was like, what? Can you say
What's
it again?
That now?
Or he just keeps walking because he doesn't hear him in the first place.
Exactly.
He's just walking away and Rick is talking to himself in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Totally. Perfect.
So continuing down this path, we're talking about the guns and the two that were missing, the Glock 9 and the 22 Bobcat. Before we found out that it was Spencer that had the guns, did you guys, were you fairly certain that's who had them?
So I don't know... the Glock 9, I know what that is, but I didn't know what a Bobcat is.
Okay.
So I thought the Bobcat was the sniper rifle, to be honest, because I don't know the difference in many guns. I just know a Glock is a handgun.
I wonder if they were counting on a lot of people not knowing that.
I mean, not everybody in this country is aware of what every kind of gun is, so...
I loosely, if you were to be like pick out a Glock from that lineup, I'd have like a decent chance. Like,
yeah.
I think I know that it doesn't look like a little like revolver.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it doesn't look like a Smith & Wesson.
Yeah, but I don't know that I would have been able to like distinctly pick it out.
Unless it's in like, you know, one of the Call of Duty games,
yeah.
I'm SOL on it.
Yeah, GoldenEye is pretty much my information. That's
I've gone
pretty
to the
outdated.
Once, so I knew the little one is a 22.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
right. So anyway, yeah, like Negan's flipping out about the guns missing, and he makes some jokes about Olivia, and like
yep.
you have a fat girl who's doing your inventory and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, that was a little harsh.
Yeah, he definitely pushes the envelope with some of the crude stuff that he says, and he's just doing it.
He's incredibly misogynistic in this version of the character,
yeah.
which is something that, again, keeping it spoiler free. We didn't see as much in the comic version of him.
Right. You were pointing out that you felt like Negan and his whole crew have kind of a rapey vibe in this.
Yeah. The interaction with the dude with Enid, where, like,
yeah.
the way he was talking to her and he just kept emphasizing the phrase little girl, it didn't seem like the I'm in the position of power because I'm bigger. It was I could literally do anything I want to you.
Yeah.
But I actually think, like, with that one in particular, that doesn't fly in Negan's
no, it doesn't.
Court.
And he's also been clear
yeah, like,
in this show.
That they could it. Always say no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you think that there was foreshadowing going on in that moment? Are they setting something up?
I don't know. I think that was meant to give Carl something to fight for.
Yeah.
Because of what Carl saw.
Definitely.
I almost said Coral.
Carl. And that guy is definitely, that guy particularly that was talking to Enid, they were definitely making him out to be pretty, like, evil and rapey. So I think
yeah.
he's definitely first on the chopping block of right. irrelevant yeah. Negan servants to die.
But I think Negan being a little more misogynist kind of makes up for him not being as vulgar, not using, you know,
right.
F-bomb as much.
It
brings up his creepiness a little
it
bit.
It makes you more uncomfortable as opposed to scared, though.
Maybe,
That's one thing is, like, you know, we've talked about Negan has done some deplorable stuff, but he's not necessarily scary to me. For
yeah.
some reason, I don't look at the character and have instant fear about him.
Something I was thinking about, and this is slightly going down a path that I don't think we're going to go down on the episode, but just thinking about when television employs the use of, like, politically incorrect characters,
mm-hmm.
Whether it is a misogynistic character or a racist character, it definitely proves a point on TV. We've gotten mm-hmm. to this point where you can get away with some really dark, really offensive things on cable because
right.
of what we've seen. I was thinking about...
I think his shit count tonight was like 8 or 9 at least.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, I was thinking about the misogynistic stuff and just how, like, with the events of this week with the election, like, is there a sense watching this that's just kind of makes your stomach turn a little more than it should where it's like, I don't know if I want to watch this on TV.
I think right now we're in a climate that anything relating to rape is heightened.
Yeah.
Like, because I remember there was, to go to Game of Thrones, and there was a rape joke during the Battle of Castle Rock.
Yeah, right.
Or was it, no, the Battle of
Bastards?
No. The water. Where
when they sacked the city?
Yeah, when they were sacking
with
the city.
Jaime and Brienne?
Yeah, yeah. There was a joke about it then, and at the time, it was like, oh, it's uncomfortable, but where we were as a country,
yeah.
it wasn't as uncomfortable as this was, and this was way less rapey.
Yeah, I just found myself thinking about not just this episode of this show, but just like TV and movies in
mm-hmm.
general,
mm-hmm.
where there's a sense of sort of like, it's impactful because it's a character,
yeah.
but it's like, I don't know if like people really want to see that right
no.
now. If,
no.
It's like the idea of there being this crude, male, white, misogynistic character,
yep.
who's a villain. It's like,
mm-hmm.
you kind of just want him to die and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was another thing. This episode was so long
yep.
that it was like, you just got so much of it.
Yeah, and he just kept doing the same thing throughout. Like, you know, and you know, just taking the cheap shot against Olivia, like, that didn't feel like Negan to me.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. He's more scare tactics or something for this version of the character. Yeah, I guess let us know in the comments, just... Was watching this episode, did it hit you harder because of this week? Like, was it harder for you to stomach? Was it more difficult to enjoy it as a dramatic show?
And is he more of a disgusting character or a like a dominating, fear-inducing character?
Yeah, it's somewhere in between, definitely. And it's all the things about him that I liked in the finale and in the premiere.
Yep.
They're getting a little more tired, and I'm finding myself liking him on screen a little less. Mm-hmm. So maybe less is more with him for now, and they might have overused him already. Yeah, so let's continue moving down here. We mentioned Rosita a little bit, and there's a couple scenes with her and Eugene this episode. So in the beginning of the episode, Eugene's like repairing a radio that he's going to give the Negan's people, and Rosita's like, let us in, and she's clearly kind of just disgusted.
Let us out.
Yeah, let us... Oh, they were trying to go out.
Out.
Okay, got it.
Yep.
And she was kind of disgusted, and Eugene was just kind of like checked out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been kind of a coward to this point. He still hasn't really done much. He did a little bit in the finale last season.
Yep. But he had that... The one episode with Abraham where you thought he was having a great redeeming moment at that point.
Definitely, definitely. The one where Abraham clearly set himself up to die.
Yes.
Right, yeah. Yep. And then Rosita shows up at the end of the episode and does an interesting thing. She takes a shell casing and she says to Eugene, make me a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys think about that? Again, guys, anybody that's watching this, there will be a discussion at the end, a spoiler
we'll keep that part vague.
Discussion. But in terms of what we've seen in the show, what do we think is going on here?
So, to me, that tells me that Rosita and Abraham were still together, that when they discovered that they can make bullets last season, it got back to her in that way. And it's interesting to see how many other people that made it to.
Right.
What's interesting is she says, make me a bullet.
Yeah.
So, is that literally kind of like, I'm going to get one shot, I'm not even going to be able to pull the trigger multiple times, just give me the one to put in the back of his head.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, Eugene just seems to... He has that very scared look in his eye when she opens the door, so he's definitely still in that kind of scared state. Mm-hmm. He doesn't seem like... But with Abraham actually out of the picture now, you wonder. They've sort of teased at that friendship of theirs before and that interaction, and you just wonder, is that a road we're going to go down with these characters in the show? Is that something that they're going to do?
I don't think yet. Well, I mean, it's the blood's literally still fresh and warm on the ground, but... she's putting a level of trust into him that she's not giving to anybody else.
Right.
So if she survives where this encounter may lead, then maybe that is where it goes.
Yeah. That's the romances that they set up in this show are fairly hilarious because it's all circumstantial and you never really know. Is it going to last? Like, who's going to die?
It's kind of like dating it within the office kind of scenario.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
It's like, oh, you see each other 8 hours a day. You're going to start hooking up. Got it.
Yeah, and the pool's not very wide. Shocking that Spencer hasn't actually hooked up with anyone, has he?
I mean, does anybody want to have sex with the shit weasel?
But Spencer's super handsome. I mean, like, you would have thought that, like, by now somebody would have made a bad decision before realizing that he was a jerk, don't you think?
I'm sorry, Spencer's super handsome?
am I dead wrong on this?
I don't know. He's okay.
Oh.
I don't know.
I guess I'm wrong.
I think he's probably busy hiding beans and scotch, apparently.
Yeah.
So
you have interesting taste.
Fair enough. Wow, I'm way off. I've often said I have no sense of, like, what makes a good-looking guy. I just figured that was... You know, I guess I'm dead on.
He's
dead
tall.
Wrong.
There's that. I don't know.
Black rim glasses.
Yeah, maybe. Exactly. That's where we kind of left off with Rosita and Eugene. We didn't get a whole lot more with those two characters. We did get some stuff with Dwight and Rosita, though.
Yeah, I was actually going to kick back to that because the attitude that she has, I mean, she literally has nothing left. Like, Abraham was the only thing she had really going for. And Dwight just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And I didn't want to say it while we were watching, but it's almost like, how long until she just says, screw it, I'm going to put somebody out of their misery, and even if it kills me, it was worth it because I don't want to be here anymore anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Right. And I mean, she says to Dwight at one point, like, he's like, what did you find anything interesting out there? And she's like, your dead friends. Like, she still has a little attitude.
I love it. Yeah. And there is a point in the beginning, too, where Negan says something just right in her face, and she gives a little something back and, you know, just walks away. And he's all, you know, entertained by her, pretty much.
Yeah.
So I like that she's able to do that. But I think what you're saying, like, you know, she's going to use her one shot. I'm hoping that'll be with the one bullet with Negan, and that'll be her last you know,
yeah.
Final stance, maybe.
I wouldn't guess. I wouldn't guess that in this show that it's Rosita's one bullet that kills Negan. That,
I agree.
That would feel right. like a strange development to me. So it feels like if she's going to have that one shot, it's going to be set up for something else to happen.
If there's going to be one person who gets the single shot that takes Negan out, and this is a big if,
yeah,
it would be Maggie.
Yeah.
That's a gigantic if. But I'm saying if the scenario ever came to pass, if I had to pick one character who puts a bullet into him, it's Maggie.
Or Rick. Yeah.
Nope, I still say Maggie.
You say, okay, the single shot.
If the character gets killed with a single shot, Maggie's the one that pulls the trigger.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to see Maggie and Negan get together, and I was happy that he asked for her
yeah.
when he showed up. Can we talk about that for a second?
Definitely.
When we were talking about the guns, like where they might be, I thought maybe Father Gabriel might have buried the guns because, you know, it looked like he was thinking quick
yeah.
and he mm-hmm. had just buried something clearly. So I guess he did the grave thing right as Negan showed up.
Or he just repositioned. He fixed a grave to look like it was Maggie's.
Like turned it over.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point talking about both Father Gabriel and the decision to hide Maggie's death. Father Gabriel, what a weird series of interactions in this episode.
Like, yeah, like he has one moment where I'm like, oh, he did something good. And then he does the everything's going to be okay. We're going to get through this talking.
Yeah.
That was like...
There is a way out of this.
From a timing perspective, that speech could not have happened at a worse time.
Yeah.
Even Negan thought he was creepy.
Yeah.
He was the only other person that's smiling in the episode.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, totally. Very strange. Very
God loves him. He's happy, I guess.
Yeah, I guess there's that thing where they need to find moments for all the characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's a thing. But yeah, it was definitely weird. The fact that he doesn't know that Maggie's alive, though, at the hilltop.
Yep.
I did wonder, mm-hmm. of all the things when Rick has, like, deceived him, that was weird that he was like, we're willing to give you guns you didn't know about, but we're going to lie about Maggie.
And it's going to be sure. pretty easy for somebody to recognize Maggie, because the amount of Negan's guys, and you know, looking at the on next week, Stephen Ogg's character, who I keep forgetting his name,
yeah,
but he's going to be up at the hilltop. And he saw Maggie. He was there for the whole thing. So it's not like the news is going to be hard to get back to Negan that she's still around.
Definitely a strange decision on Rick's part as far as what you're going to conceal. But I guess maybe he just thought about her and the fact that she was already like sick and he didn't know if the baby was going to be okay. And mm-hmm. then Negan, what he was saying, he's like, I just don't want to put her in harm's way at least. But it does seem a bit foolish. Like maybe it'll come back to bite him.
Yeah.
Or it could help them.
Well,
she could be like a secret weapon in a way, you know.
You don't know
when she's going to show back
but
up.
But Negan's whole attitude of like, look, we're starting to be on the same page and you understand what's going on. Like, I think if you're going to try to maintain that and even fly under the radar with him, you don't make something that big a lie in front of him.
Well, especially when he says to you, I just slipped my dick down your throat and you thank me for it.
Who needs the F-bomb when you can just literally lay it out like
that's
that?
The most, I mean, that was like definitely the most inappropriate comment in
the episode. Yeah, that was the bluntest thing I think they've said.
Yeah. And that felt like Negan in the comics. That felt as vulgar and like crude and dead on. So I guess that's what they can get away with. But
it was a guy saying it to another guy, which is why it didn't feel as messed up as some of the other like rapey things.
Which brings to mind a whole other. So let's just move on from that. No need to discuss it. So I think that pretty much covers what we saw in the episode. I think the last thing that I want to talk about before we get into predictions is the conversation between Michonne and Rick at the end of the episode, in which Michonne says she's going to try, and Rick talks about...
Well, we didn't talk about the conversation with the kid. Or is that what you're
going?
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, the conversation with Michonne when she says she's going to try, and Rick says that at one time he starts telling the story about Shane.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It does remind you a couple things. One, that even though we're seven seasons into a show and it's so many years have passed, these events and these characters still exist in this vacuum. And
it's only, and again, like we've talked about, it's only about a little under 2 years at this point.
Mm.
And also that, like, Michonne, even though she feels like it has not been around the whole time, she wasn't around for Shane.
Nope.
So she missed the whole part. And Shane's involvement in the show really only actually was two seasons.
Yep.
So he tells the story about Shane. One thing he says is, I know that Judith is not my kid.
Right.
Which, you know, he's using this as a metaphor for what he had to accept to go on living and try to protect the people that are around him. But I guess he knows that because of when...
Math. It's all math.
That's how he knows.
Health class.
That's 100%.
the thing is, we didn't get to watch this with a calendar in front of us, like right. these characters had. Like, you know, there are people like, it's been 3 weeks, it's been 3 months since XYZ happened. And even when Rick came back and Shane was with Lori and stuff like that, if you start doing the math on it, and he could even say, well, we didn't have sex for the first time until 7 months before Judith was born.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's how he knows.
I guess, yeah, he just did the math with it. But it was definitely one of those things where it's another one of those moments where you're like, wow, Michonne didn't know about this. And also, Rick has never just openly admitted. Hardwick, in the little preview for Talking Dead, was like, and the bomb that Rick dropped, it's like, that didn't feel like a bomb to me.
Yeah. No. It was a bomb for the character to say it out loud, mm-hmm. but I think almost all of us kind of assumed that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. But he just gave us the confirmation of it more than anything else.
Yeah. Right. Let's get into predictions, guys. So we will do the regular predictions, and then we will do the spoiler predictions.
Yep.
There we go.
He's listening. Give him a second.
Need to kick it off.
Guys, so what we're going to do here is we're going to do a quick sign-off each at the end of our prediction, so you know where to find us if you'd like to follow along, and then we will give a spoiler alert, and we will talk about the comic book for just a moment. My name is Ben Bateman. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. My prediction going forward, I've got a couple. They're definitely setting up for Spencer to do something stupid and die. I mentioned it in the episode. I don't think it's going to be long from now. I wouldn't be particularly surprised if it is somebody in Negan's camp that kills him. I don't expect that it necessarily would be Negan necessarily, but I do think that somebody on that side will kill him, and he will... And Rick will feel somewhat responsible for it.
I will piggyback on that. I think the stupid thing that he does is if a rebellion tries to start up, he's the one that tries to sell them out to try to get himself into a better spot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I will also pile on that I think it's going to be somebody from Negan's camp.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be Dwight.
You think Dwight's going to kill him?
Yep.
Interesting.
I was going to say, just thinking off of that, I would love to see, not love to see, it's terrible, but it would be interesting to see Daryl take out one of their own people, you know, being forced to and just maybe not in his own mind and, you know, the effect of being taken out by one of your own. Maybe it wouldn't be as, you know, sad if it's Spencer, but, you know, I would like to see Daryl take someone out.
Yeah,
but the Daryl still hasn't fully broken yet.
Right,
and
he hasn't.
Because it's say it. And he won't say Negan.
Right.
He won't still say that he's Negan.
Right. But now Dwight's got his bike, so now he's got another thing in front of him.
I mean, I think the material possessions at this point are past what he's going to care about.
True.
I mean, he already walks around dressing up like, you know, I'm a kid cosplaying as Daryl, essentially.
Yeah, true. Folks, where can the guys find you if they want to follow along?
The John Carl on Twitter and Instagram, Whiskey and Waffles on YouTube.
At Suzanne_Kim.
All right, guys, that is going to be our official sign-off. We're going to do a spoiler discussion here. If we can get a spoiler alert, please.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
The seizure lights are a lot calmer this week.
Yeah. So, guys, one last time, if you don't want to know what happens in the comic book, turn it off now or turn off your whatever.
I'm being trolled by the control room right now. It's great.
We're going to just talk for a few minutes about it, and... Suzanne, I'm sorry if we're going to ruin things for you, but
I've accepted
you're
it.
On the panel.
I know, yeah. It's the price I pay.
I like that you're apologizing now. We've been ruining it for 3 weeks.
Right, yeah, I know.
So the first thing is Spencer does die in the comic book, and it's Negan that kills him, and Negan guts him.
It's a pretty great death.
Yeah, it's great, and he tries to. I think it's because he tries to sell them out, right? Or he tries to just say that he doesn't think Rick should be in power. That's what it is, right?
He's just that being sounds like him.
Something like that. I haven't read that in years.
Yeah, it's been a couple years. Yeah.
I hate him so much.
So they're definitely setting him up for something like that. We've said it before in the discussion section here, but Rosita and Eugene do end up together in the book.
What?
But it is, again, there are differences as far as this part of the story.
Yep.
So you don't really know what's going to happen. That's that same stuff with Carol and Ezekiel and Michonne and how there's character shifting.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Rosita necessarily will end up with Eugene. It feels like they're going in that direction, but I also have seen them do different things with these characters. Rosita's more important in the show so far.
Yes, she's definitely a more important character. Like in the comics, Eugene is the important one, and she feels like a secondary asset to Eugene, essentially.
Yeah,
She becomes a plot device for him more than anything else.
Yeah, the biggest wild cards at this point are basically the couple things that we have brewing are the character shift. It all comes down to Carol and Daryl. That's everything because Carol is a different character. She's the version we have does not exist in the comic book.
Correct.
Michonne is in a different spot, and Daryl doesn't exist. So because you have Dwight and Daryl filling like a similar role now...
Right, but you also, in the comic, you still have Andrea at this point.
Right.
And she's the known sniper.
And Andrea is Michonne.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So yeah, it's a little different. So they're doing a great job with a couple of the shifts, but there's definitely a few things where you're like, well, Carol's too good of a character to just like make her into a different character.
Yep.
So she's going to have significant plot. And then because Daryl doesn't exist in the book and Dwight does, it kind of makes me think that Dwight's going to take Daryl's place. I'm sorry, Daryl's going to take Dwight's place from the comic.
Oh,
they're going to use him like they used Dwight.
See, I don't know if you can. I think the stuff that they're hinting at with Dwight and his wife leaving him for Negan, and despite it being forced and everything like that, I think Dwight still needs to have his comeuppance happen. I think maybe the way that I hinted at in my prediction, without going into the spoiler territory, is I think Spencer tries to cut a deal with Dwight, and Dwight actually shuts him down, and because he's planning on actually siding with Rick and helping the rebellion start.
I could see that. Mm. I could see that.
So I think it's he's being the, you know, the ultimate shit weasel that he is.
Yeah.
And it ends up turning on him because Dwight is sick of all of Negan's stuff. And I think over the next 3 to 4 episodes, we're going to see Negan just keep escalating the facts. He's like, I'm banging your girl. I'm banging your girl.
Right.
I'm banging your girl. And it's going to set him off past that point.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So yeah, I think they're doing a great job with moving the characters around. Any final thoughts here on discussion before we move on?
They just need to be more careful about 90-minute episodes.
Yeah, I agree completely. It's definitely not a problem, but it's like more of these would be a problem.
Yeah, it's like I said, and you know, I think we didn't do a great job last season of emphasizing it. It wasn't a bad episode. It was a good episode. It just could have been tighter, and I didn't see the need for the extra time in it.
Yeah, but I do think people have swung a little far in the direction of that being the greatest Walking Dead episode. I've heard that before. People think it's the best episode ever.
Really?
Yeah, which is intense. I mean, that's a good episode. It's an interesting episode, but it's a very hipster pick for the best episode. So anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We had a great time. We'll see you same time, same place next week. Text the Daryl. Let him know that you miss him.
I don't think they have his phone number.
Oh, yeah. Tweet it, Daryl.
Remember, overhead.
Yeah, right. Over it.
It's all about the technique.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.